Oh boy. Fun, fun, fun.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1900 UTC, and it is Monday, July 18th, 2022. I'm pre-recording this because I'm en route to Hope 2022 in New York City. I have made it all the way to Robbinsville, North Carolina. I'm actually recording this pretty late in the day. It's already like a little after 8 a.m. local time. The motorcycle shop nearby opens at 9, and I need to go there to get my chain looked at. And so, fingers crossed, I get back on the road today and only lose about half a day. If so, then that means that I can still make it to New York on the 20th, which would allow me to help with the first day of setup. It seems like there's some volunteers, but there's more work than there are volunteers right now. So I'm excited to be able to help out with that. Riding has been a lot of fun, except I got caught in the rain yesterday, and both days, Saturday and Sunday, I have set goals that were too far ahead, too far out, and so ended up driving at night, which is terrible. It can be pretty scary, especially last night whenever I was on Tennessee's twistiest road, most curvy road, and it was dark, and so I'm having to go, you know, the posted warning speed is like 15 miles an hour, and I'm not proficient enough to do that. So it took about an hour to go 20 miles. It was really amazing. But anyway, that's just the fun of just letting the navigation app kind of take you whichever route it would like you to. So anyway, that's all the fun. Let's go ahead and talk about some news. And I would just apologize if the volume or audio is funky. I will do my best, but please, I'm at mnw@tildy.zone on Mastodon. Just post up there if there's any issues or sound or anything. I won't really be able to listen. I'm going to be listening to Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee, which happens every damn day at 1930 UTC. I'm going to be listening to that at night when I get to wherever I'm staying. So during Hope, this should hopefully be a little bit better because I'll have good, reliable internet access and all of that jazz. All right, so let's go ahead and get going. So first up, in Ghana, they've confirmed the first cases of deadly Marburg virus. We mentioned this earlier whenever we were talking about different diseases. Well, Ghana has confirmed its first two cases of the deadly Marburg virus, a highly infectious disease in the same family as the virus that causes Ebola. It says both patients died recently in hospital in the southern Ashanti region. Their samples came back positive earlier this month and have now been verified by a laboratory in Senegal. Health officials in West African nations say 98 people are now under quarantine as suspected contact cases. The World Health Organization, which is supporting the country's health authorities, has praised Ghana's swift response. "This is good because without immediate and decisive action, Marburg can easily get out of hand," said Dr. Matshidiso Moeti, the WHO's Africa director. No treatment yet exists for Marburg, but doctors say drinking plenty of water and treating specific symptoms improve a patient's chance of survival. This is what's so scary about it, because we just got that vaccine or some kind of, I think it was a vaccine for Ebola, but nothing for Marburg. And really, it's kind of surprising that the world isn't more scared of this disease. The virus is transmitted from people from fruit bat, fruit bats and spreads between humans through transmission of bodily fluids. It is a severe, often fatal illness with symptoms including headache, fever, muscle pains, vomiting, blood, and bleeding. Officials are warning people to keep away from caves and to go thoroughly cook all meat products before consuming them. This is the second time that Marburg has been identified in West Africa. There was one case confirmed in Guinea last year, but that outbreak was declared over in September, 5 weeks after the case was identified. Elsewhere on the continent, previous outbreaks and sporadic cases have been reported in Angola, DRC, Kenya, South Africa, and Uganda. The virus kills 200 people in Angola in 2005, the deadliest outbreak on record. The first ever outbreak was in Germany in 1967, when 7 people died. Speaking of Germany, Japan is a little upset with them. Why, you might ask? Well, the fight over Berlin's Comfort Woman statue. Yep. On the second Monday of each month, Jim Bob Heimberg walks across the street from his family's flower shop cafe to a park in the quiet Berlin neighborhood of Mobate. There, Heimberg, a tall 27-year-old German, places a crown of flowers atop a statue of a small Korean girl. Crafted in bronze and granite by artist Kim Seo-kung and Kim Yoon-sung, the artwork is known as the Statue of Peace. Although the figure is not meant to represent any particular person, the Kims use their daughter's hands and feet as a model for the nameless girl, who sits with a bird perched on her left shoulder next to an empty chair. The statue symbolizes the estimated 200,000 comfort women forced into sexual slavery to serve Japan's armed forces during the early 20th century. During a recent visit, young German children placed yellow leaves in her hands or sat in the unoccupied chair to keep the girl company. The statue was installed 2 years ago by Korea Verband, a local nonprofit focused on education in human rights, Korean culture, and Korean-German relations. Before then, Heimberg didn't know about Comfort Woman, who first became public with their accounts in 1991. Today, his shop, Kuchintischlerei, is decorated with miniature replicas and postcards of the little girl. History should be discussed, and you have to stand up for it, even if you don't have any part of it, Heimberg said. Over the past year, a group of Berliners have been fighting to make the statue a permanent exhibition. There are more than 90 statues of peace around the world that have come to represent not only the Comfort Women's travails, but also those of survivors of sexual violence and wartime abuse. The statue is a symbol against patriarchal violence during wars and other conflicts, a memorial for all nations to stop this behavior, an apology, and therefore a memorial for peace, said Angelina Kruger, a member of senior citizens activist group Almas Gegen Rechts, Grannies Against the Right. Because Germany began this terrible war and Japan was a confederate of Germany, Germany and Berlin has a special responsibility to show that it is important to let this statue, this memorial for peace, exist. German authorities, however, do not fully share Heimberg or Kruger's perspective. The noncommittal stance worries the statue's supporters during a time of rising Japanese antagonism, and when a new South Korean president, fervently backed by anti-feminist voters, wants to improve relations with Japan. There is this genuine attempt by South Korean conservatives to discredit the Comfort Women movement entirely, said S. Nathan Park, a non-resident fellow of the Sejong Institute who writes about Asia. This is the part that escapes a lot of outside observers. When Shinzo Abe died on July 8th, many obituaries omitted the former Prime Minister's adamance in silencing Comfort Women in resistance to offering a formal apology. During his leadership, Japanese textbooks erased references to its army's colonial brutality. Since the first Statue of Peace was unveiled in Seoul in 2011, Japanese officials and right-wing extremists have harassed educators, activists, and others who publicly discuss this. Sorry, the story's a bit long, but it's over there at The Nation if you'd like to read more. I just wanted to be sure and mention it. And I don't have the story, but I wanted to mention that if you ever get a chance, Oak Ridge, Tennessee isn't that far. That's where I was aiming to go to yesterday, but I got rained on. They have an amazing history and an amazing component with or a lot of it's an amazing history and an interesting relationship with nuclear power. So I'll just leave it to you to look that up. It's pretty cool. I hope I haven't heard from Publius lately. I should check the archives for a step farther out. But I just wanted to mention that because I know that he's interested in nuclear power. He may or may not be familiar with that. All right. Let's keep on going. We're going to get a song in too. But let's talk about death and sadness first. Yusuf Zahab, Australian teen feared killed in Syrian jail. An Australian teenager taken to Syria as a child is feared dead after languishing in an adult prison for 3 years. Yusuf Zahab was 11 years old when he was taken to Syria in 2015 by relatives who had been radicalized. He was imprisoned without charge in 2019. His Sydney-based family say they are heartbroken and angry because the 17-year-old had begged for help for years. Australia has previously said it's too dangerous to repatriate its citizens. It's unclear exactly when or how Yusuf was suspected to have died. Rights groups say he was injured in January when the Islamic State group attacked a prison in the Kurdish-controlled northeast in a bid to free its fighters. Kurdish-led forces, with U.S. support, battled the militants for a week, leaving more than 180 dead. At the time, Yusuf told family in voice recordings he was scared he might die at any time. "I lost a lot of blood. There's no doctors here. There's no one who can help me," he said. Yusuf was among around 850 children who'd been detained at the prison after the fall of IS in 2019 in case they posed a risk, the UN Children's Charity UNICEF has said. His family described him as a happy and compassionate child who loved sport, school, and playing with his cousins. Even in the final message received from Yusuf, he asked us to tell his mom that he loved and missed her. Yusuf didn't need to die. So, this is a very sad story here. Being taken away when you're 11 and then dying in prison, then going to prison and then living out the rest of your life there is not a pleasant thought. One other death story, and this is just a follow-up from the Uvalde shooting in Texas. Nearly 400 officers from myriad agencies went to the school, but were stymied by a lack of coordination, report finds. There were systemic failures and egregious poor decision-making involved in the deadly school shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. The 77-page report from the Texas legislature, released on Sunday, details glaring failures in the years leading up to and during the shooting. Nearly 400 officers went to the school after the killing started, but they were... Why did they say it twice? Anyway, law enforcement officers told investigators they assumed Uvalde School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo was in charge at the scene, but Arredondo had said publicly he didn't believe himself to be in charge. Law enforcement waited more than an hour before eventually confronting and killing the shooter. The report details how an officer with the State Department of Public Safety at one point confronted officers who were clustered together in the hall and heard another officer asking if there were kids in the classroom. "If there's kids in there, we need to go in there," he said. Another officer responded, "Whoever was in charge would figure that out." While Arredondo has resigned a city council seat and been placed on leave from his chief's job amid heavy scrutiny for the inadequate law enforcement response, the report also faults other law enforcement agencies for failing to step up to fill the void. And, of course, police are, as I've mentioned before, police have no legal obligation to protect you or put their life in danger to save anybody. So, don't expect it, but appreciate it if it happens, I guess. So now, let's change gears. There's a lot of climate change news happening. There's four stories all together, and I'll just kind of mash them together here. Two are from the Africa News site, one's from Guardian, and one's from Al Jazeera. So, under pressure from climate change, Morocco's oases struggle to support life. In the south of Morocco's High Alice Mountains is one of the few palm tree oases still inhabited in the country. Over 25 square kilometers, the Skoura oasis features palm trees, of course, but also olive and almond trees. The 20,000 residents live amongst nearly 140,000 palm trees. Founded in the 12th century during the Almohad Caliphate, a North African Berber Muslim empire, it was inhabited by the Hascurani Berber tribe, hence the oasis name Skoura. Residents of the oasis live from the produce they grow on the land, mainly date palm, but they're suffering from the effects of climate change. Most of the palm trees are dried and damaged, and the soil bears the cracks of water scarcity. Today we notice the great impact of climate change on the oasis, as the scarcity of water has led to a shrinkage in the afforestation circle in the region. But there's a shrinkage of palm trees, olive trees, henna cultivation, in addition to many products related to the economy of the region. And all of these products were destined for export, whether to northern Morocco or neighboring countries, said Mustafa Laissat, president of Green Carpet Association in Rabat. In the past, there were a large number of palm trees here to give. In addition to olive, almond, and apple trees, the area was prosperous. Most of the oases in Morocco are supplied with water by Katara, an irrigation system of subterranean canalizations that made it possible to drain groundwater and bring it to plantation, thanks to gravity. Skoura has been using the Katara irrigation system since 1980, but most of it has since dried. In the past, the source of water was the Katara system, but now the farmers are forced to dig wells, and this is what causes problems between them, and this is what made none of them benefit from the required water. Water is very necessary for us. It's necessary for everyone. Wells need to be dug at least 40 meters into the ground to reach water. Several square kilometers of the oasis have disappeared because of dried palm trees. Tourism helps the economy stay afloat. The locals are not staying. So yeah, this is pretty sad. This is one of those things that you don't think about, or what made me think about when I was reading it earlier was that we have the limited natural resources we have. Even in the 80s and 90s, we were like, oh yeah, we don't have, this isn't a renewable resource. We only have so much, we need to conserve it. And people just didn't. Everyone was like, no, it's okay. It's been this way for years. And sure enough, now it doesn't matter. or it matters, but a lot of people are going to be old and almost dead, and they're going to find that everything they worked their life for has turned to dust, or, as in the case in China, it's buried underwater. China floods leave at least 12 dead with thousands evacuated. I'm not implying that these two are linked, but it is kind of climate changey. China floods leave at least 12 dead with thousands evacuated. Flash floods in the southwest and northwest China have left at least a dozen dead and put thousands of others in harm's way. In the southwestern province of Sichuan, at least 6 people have died and another 12 are missing after torrential rain triggered flash floods, state-owned news outlet CGTN reported on Sunday. About 1,300 people have evacuated as of Saturday. And in the UK, they're bracing for the hottest day on record with precautions put in place. It's expected to hit 40 C for the first time ever, and for the first time to halt the UK as train services cancel and health authorities warn of dangers. And there's a photo that's pretty great. A member of the Queen's Guard receives water to drink during the hot weather outside Buckingham Palace in London. Outside of Buckingham Palace, you know, they all have to wear those big, heavy uniforms and that big puffy hat and march back and forth in front of the palace. But when it's hot, like when it's over 30 degrees, when it's like 35 to 40 degrees, you're going to have them just falling down, passing out. On Monday, temperatures are forecast to hit 40 degrees for the first time, forcing railway companies to cancel services and health authorities to put ambulances on standby. Much of Europe is baking in a heat wave that's pushed temperatures into the mid-40s, and wildfires are raging across the countryside in Portugal, Spain, and France. Don't worry, though. There's still more flooding. Flash floods triggered by seasonal torrential rains in Sudan's western Darfur region killed at least 7 people, including children, according to the UN and an aid group on Sunday. Heavy rain started late Friday in the Kos locality in south Darfur province, according to the General Coordination for Refugees and Displaced in Darfur. And that is the climate-y kind of news there for you. Let's play a song. Let's do that. How about this? Let's go ahead and import a song. See how good my Wi-Fi is. Put the music library, and then, boom, here. Let's do this. This song is called Your New Twin Size Bed, and it is from Death Cab for Cutie. And let's do this. Oh, shucks. It's not playing. I don't know how to make it play. Playing. Well, that's frustrating. I wonder how. Oh, well. Well, I guess we don't get a song today. I told it to play. Alas. And it says it's playing. Oh, well. Sorry about that. Well, we got about 10 minutes to go when the Dubious Goals Committee starts up. So let's run through it. I also need to get on the road. It is time for me to go. Zelensky has sidelined some close allies. In Indiana, a guy shot 3 people in a mall attack. And well, I guess I'll just leave you with this. Thousands of Bali yogis joined a mass chuckle. Thousands of people gathered for laughter together for a laughter yoga session on Indonesia's resort island of Bali to heal themselves with giggles and pray for world peace. I'm a housewife. There are a lot of problems at home, be it with my husband, my mother, or my other members of my family. So this yoga is very, very helpful, says Lilis, a participant. And I'm sorry that the show's not a full 30 minutes. So you're going to hear some music or something. You'll hear something. I was hoping to play some sound, some music, but I guess that's not going to happen. I'll be back tomorrow, and hopefully with a full show. And we'll see how it goes. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome back on my kind of a few minutes late BS, but hey, you know what? It kind of keeps things interesting. Sorry about the delay, but I have been up way too long. I took an hour nap last night, so I'm just a little bit everywhere. But that's okay, because that's what happens, you know? We just kind of bebop rock through the world and try different stuff out. I've got lots of news for you today, and so I want to be sure. I always mention this at the top of the show, or I try to remember. Don't forget, you can interact when the show is going on in the comm radio, a non-radio room in comm. All you need to do is SSH over to SDF. So you can SSH at tty.sdf.org. Then just type comm at the command prompt. And then, oh shucks, I have a tmux session, but it died apparently. Anyway, you type comm, then G for go to. That's what I'm doing right now. G for go to, type a non-radio, all one word, and hit enter. Boom, you'll see a banner that
It's an ASCII art of a non-radio that looks pretty cool, and a listing of everyone that's in the room. So, hello. Hello. Big hello to Publius and X1 and Tobe. It's time for the news, dudes. All right. So, that's where we're going. So, yeah. So, now it's time to start the show the way we always start the show.
World news.
That's right. We start up a nice, gentle blender and whirl out some news. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm going to turn my mic up. Boop. There we go. Sorry about that. I am rushed. Did I mention I've not slept? Anyway, it's going to be a fun show. There's so much news, and it's all over the place. So let's get in there. There's lots of death and destruction, as always. Let's start there. UN convoy in Afghanistan's attacked by gunmen. 5 Afghan security force members killed. Unknown gunmen attacked a United Nations convoy on the outskirts of Afghanistan's capital on Thursday, killing 5 security force members who were escorting the international agency's vehicles, the UN and officials said. The attack took place near Kabul, according to an Afghan Interior Ministry official, adding they believe the insurgent Taliban were behind it. A spokesman for the militants said they had nothing to do with the attack. The UN's mission to Afghanistan said in a statement on Twitter that the UN family in Afghanistan mourns the loss of 5 Afghan personnel in an incident today. And I laugh only because using social media for official business still is very odd to me. Ooh, soup sounds so good, exiled. It is rather chilly here. We just had a nice cold front blow through, and being in Austin, we don't normally get super chilly all at once. So it's where are we at? We're in the 30s right now. We're expected to go all the way down past the 20s. So I hope I'm going live. I think so. I have the option checked. Boop boop doot doot doot. All right. Yep. Yeah. We're going out. Life is good. I'm talking. You hearing? Okay. Sometimes I have, if you're new to the show or whatever, there've been more than one time when I've been tired or just otherwise out of sorts and broadcast over to like a Tilde radio or just recorded the show instead of broadcasting it. All sorts of different things. So, whatever. It's already 7 past. We gotta hurry up and talk about more news stories. Alright, so let's get to it. BBC has been barred from airing in China. British television channel BBC World News has been barred from airing in China, the National Radio and Television Administration said on Friday, a week after Britain's media regulator revoked Chinese state television's broadcast license. In a statement issued on the stroke of the Lunar New Year, the administration said an investigation found BBC World News China-related reports had seriously violated regulations, including that news should be truthful and fair, had harmed China's national interest, and undermined national unity. The channel therefore does not meet requirements for foreign channels broadcasting in China, and its application to air for another year will not be accepted. English-language BBC World News is not included in most TV channel packages in China, but it is available in some hotels and residences. Two Reuters journalists in China said the channel had gone blank on their screens. The BBC did not immediately respond to requests for comment, and yeah, this story comes to us from Reuters, not the BBC, so just in case you were worried or wondering what was going on there. Yeah, and it's probably got a lot to do with Hong Kong and the democracy movement, pro-democracy movement. But here's a story from the BBC. Charles de Gaulle plans for a huge new airport terminal in Paris has been scrapped. The French government has abandoned plans to build a huge new terminal at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. The coronavirus pandemic and changing environmental priorities were the reasons given for the move. If you guys remember not too long ago, several citizens of France sued the state for not doing enough
for climate change. So